Blog Talk Radio.
I'm out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory.
God bless you. Good evening. Listening audience to Reaching Out Radio tonight, this is your host, Sister Pearl. I want to thank our evangelist Montel Fields and the Fields Family Ministry for Reaching Out Radio tonight. Not only are we broadcasting throughout the United States, but around the world, as this is such a blessing and it's an internet program. on Blog Talk Radio. So I bring you greetings from Reaching Out Radio on behalf of Evangelist Montel. And I just welcome every listener tonight, the ones that are accustomed to listening in to Reaching Out Radio and also the new people that are listening in for the first time. I'd like to give you a special welcome. I'm so happy that you're going to spend the next hour with yours truly. I'd like to open up with a word of prayer tonight before we go into our message. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name that can be named, the name that at your name, just the very mention of your name, demons tremble. God, we just adore you. We worship you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We reverence you as you alone are God. And beside you, there is none other. Father, I want to especially remember Evangelist Montel's mother tonight. I pray that you would touch her in the hospital, that you would bring your healing balm of Gilead to just touch her where she needs to be touched and eradicate every trace of cancer in her body and speak healing to every fiber of her cell, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, especially her throat, her esophagus. Father, we pray for healing, total health and restoration. In Jesus' name, we also pray that you continue to give Evangelist Montel the strength and the help and the joy and the peace, the wisdom and the anointing that she needs as she ministers to her mom and to so many others. We just bless Sister Montel and her entire family and all of our listening audience. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Wow, it's so good to be with you again on a Sunday night. I've been missing you, but I'm glad to be back. Tonight we're going to talk on an important subject, the subject of being tested. 2015, wow, October the 25th. Only by the grace of God have you and I gotten to this point. And I'm so grateful that we are here. We know that if we're alive and we love Jesus, that God has a plan. He's working out a fantastic plan for us. We want to make sure that we are just straight center in the perfect plan that he has for us so that we can fulfill our God-given destiny. However, many times along this God-given path that he's placed us on, there's tremendous testing, and we need to talk about it. Many times we kind of avoid the whole subject of testing, but we need to talk about testing because it's a reality for every believing saint of God. And you and I should not think it's strange that we're being tested. Actually, the Bible tells us through the anointed words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." So obviously, the apostle knows that if you're going to be in faith, if you're going to be a son, a daughter of the Most High God, you and I are going to face trials. That's just a part of the reality of following Jesus Christ. And we're not to think it's some strange thing that's happening to us when we encounter, and not only is the apostle Peter talking about a trial, but he's talking about, he's giving the adjective a fiery trial. So something that's really, you know, causing us to feel uncomfortable, certainly. And then he goes on to say, can you believe it? He's asking us to rejoice. When you and I encounter those fiery trials, he's admonishing us that we should be rejoicing. Why are we rejoicing? We're rejoicing because we know that when we're in faith, when we're living the way that Christ would have us to live, when we're in obedience, and we're still in a fiery trial, we're experiencing something hot, something that's tight, something that's not comfortable, sometimes even feels suffocating. But instead of feeling downcast, the Word of God tells us to rejoice. because we know that we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Christ suffered for us. And if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, whether you hear this on your television show that you love to watch, your Christian TV program, they oftentimes will not tell you the realities of identifying with Jesus Christ also means that you and I are going to identify with his suffering. So again, let me put it another way. If you and I are going to follow Jesus Christ, he suffered before we did. Guess what? We want to hang with Jesus. We want to be tight with Jesus. We want the blessings of the Lord. We want to relate to Jesus. We want to have a relationship with Jesus. Then part of that identity is that we have to be partakers of Christ's sufferings. The world did not like him when he came, and they're not going to like you, and they're not going to like me either when we live our lives in according to his will. But instead of feeling sorrowful and being sad and downhearted and downcast and downtrodden, we are to be glad. And not just be glad, but be glad with abundance. The Word of God calls it be glad with exceeding joy. Everything about Jesus is big. It's great. So we don't just come into life with Christ, but we come into abundant life. And when we're going to be glad with Christ and following him and rejoicing that we are found worthy to partake in his sufferings, then we should not only be glad, but we should be exceedingly glad with a lot of joy, exceedingly, you know, glad and have great joy. Then again, James, I believe the brother of Jesus, he admonished us in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. This is a part of the testing. Remember, tonight we're talking about the theme, this is a test. What you're going through right now, what you're facing, what you're encountering, the thing that makes you wonder, wow, is God really aware of what I'm dealing with right now, what I'm going through? Of course he's aware. He's God. He knows everything about you, everything about me, a lot more than what you know about yourself and a lot more than what I know about myself. But James tells us, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. That means complete. The Bible says not wanting for anything, meaning not lacking, but you're being shaped and pruned and made and fashioned by God to come up to the full measure of what God has ordained you to be from before the foundations of the earth. Can you believe that? It's true. So there is a definite testing of my faith. There's a testing of your faith. There's a testing of endurance. This is a reality. A testing even of our love for the Lord. A testing of the Spirit. Are we walking according to the precepts of Almighty God? Or are we just being religious? Are we just going about the day-to-day? You know, the Sunday to Sunday, the Wednesday night to Wednesday night, the Friday night, if you have a Friday night service, Wednesday night service, or whatever your service might be, Tuesday night, Thursday night. Is it just, you know, now you're running into a mote way of following Jesus Christ, just the mundane? But no. Let's test our own selves in the faith. Are we walking according to the Spirit of God? Luke says it like this in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What's that all about? That was the time that Peter, another great apostle, another great man of God, before Jesus had given his life on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could experience eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross, when he was on his way, prior to Gethsemane, but before he got there, there was a conversation going on with Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus was telling them and trying to prepare them for the extremely serious things that they were going to soon encounter, especially him being taken to the cross, allowing himself to be put on a cross, because that was what he came for, not only to live, not only to come and teach us, but he came specifically to die, to lay down his life as a sacrifice so that you and I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that could have shed his pure, holy blood in exchange for our sinful blood and our sinful lives. And that was the only blood sacrifice that the Father God would accept, was his sinless Son, Jesus Christ. But while he was telling the disciples what was going to take place and getting them prepped and getting them ready, he had a conversation with them. You can read all about it in Luke chapter 22. And Peter said, you know, don't worry about it, Jesus. I'm going to be protecting you. If they come to try to harm you, I'm ad-libbing, of course. It's not exactly that verbatim, but I'm giving you the loose version. You know, I got your back. I'll take care of you. If they come to try to take you out, I got you, Jesus. You know, I've got it all taken care of. And then Jesus was saying, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, because Jesus is God. He was fully man, fully God. He said, look, before the cock will crow three times, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to wind up saying, you don't even know who I am. And then Peter said, no, you know, oh, my goodness, I'm going to go to jail for you. You know, I'll give my life for you. You know, and a lot of times you and I, you know, we think the same. We think that we're all of that and even more. We're so dedicated to Jesus, and we're so committed. We love him so much. And then when we experience a testing time, we begin to wonder. We begin to doubt. Oftentimes, we think about, do I really want to go the way of Jesus? But then the Lord, being so merciful, so patient, so kind, he looked at Peter and he said, look, you're going to deny me. There's no two ways about it. But I've already prayed for you. That's what I just read to you in Luke 22, verse 32. I've already prayed for you, and that your faith in the end will not fail. You're going to slip up, but you're going to be back in faith. And when you are changed, when you are totally turned around, totally surrendered, totally committed to me, white coat, hot on fire for me, I'm going to use you to go and strengthen your brothers in the faith. That's Luke 22:32. So think about that. You and I that are going through some deep trials, some deep hard ways, remember that God is shaping us. God is fixing us. God is molding us. God is making us. That when we be totally converted, when our own nature that is contrary to the nature of God is totally yielded over to God, submissive to the Spirit of God, pliable in God's hands so that he can shape us and make us what he wants, he says, look, I'm going to use you, the same you that are weak now. I'm going to strengthen you, and you're going to be able to go and strengthen your brothers and your sisters in the faith. Then the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and I actually used this particular scripture when I was in Oregon just a few weeks ago. And I want to give a shout out to all my brothers and sisters in Aloha, Oregon, and in Portland, Oregon. God bless you. I love you. It's so great for my daughter and I to be with you and spend those few days. We love you tremendously. But I shared that verse in the last message that I gave in the Aloha Church there in Oregon. And that had pertained to the fact that you and I need to sometimes just shut away and take spiritual inventory of ourselves. And we find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Don't wait for somebody else to have to prove you. Examine your own self. Don't wait for someone else to have to examine you. Examine your own self. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So, you know, always be willing and ready to examine yourself. It is much better for me to examine myself, humble myself, than to have God humble me or somebody else humble me. You and I are embarking on one of the greatest tests of our lives. And I think many of you are already realizing this. The times we're living in are nothing less than unprecedented. Just earlier this year, if you're an American, if you live within North America, and especially within the United States of America, we were told at the closing of June that two men can marry legally. Two women can marry each other legally. I mean, this is unprecedented. And so you and I are living in unprecedented times. We're living in a time when a husband, a father, a grandfather decides now, an Olympian, that he wants to be a woman. And now he changed from his male name that he was given at birth to now a female name. And he is being lauded and he is being praised by the media in America as a great thing. He's getting honors. He's getting accolades. You know, we're living in unprecedented times. He even has his own television show. What is so maddening and crazy about the way people are thinking? This now, quote-unquote, woman, according to the media and according to himself, is walking around with his full male organs. He is fully a man. He still has kept his male organ. And yet, he is being promoted as a woman, touted as a woman. He's not a woman. If he wanted to, he can still get somebody pregnant. So, I mean, we're living in unprecedented times. The Lord himself told us that we cannot know the day nor the hour of his return. So we know we're living in unprecedented times, and we've got to be very careful. Do not let anyone tell you, okay, I know when Jesus is coming back. He's coming back on May 21st, 2011. That's what Harold Camping did, and Harold Camping is now deceased. I remember that at that time, 4 years ago, I was saying, this is crazy. Why are people even taking this man seriously? Remember, we're talking about this is a test. Because anything the enemy will use in your life and in my life to get us distracted, this is a test. What you're going through right now in your life is a test. What I'm dealing with several tests on many different levels. I can assure you of that one. But even this thing with, you know, people trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back. Now, the Bible tells us that we can know and watch the signs. So we should know that we're in a particular season that is ripe for Jesus to return. I believe we're there right now. When the disciples asked Jesus, it's the other way around. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, will you tell us, how will we be able to know the end of the age? That's recorded in Matthew 24. And Jesus answered them and began to relate what we can look for as far as the signs go. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're already there. We don't have to talk about what's going to happen in the next 10 years or 5 years. We're right now in the end times, right now. We would say in Spanish, ahora mismo. We're in it right now. We would say in Mandarin, shenzai. We're in it right now. So we don't have to wonder about when the end of the age will come. We're living in the end of the age, but we don't know the exact month, the year, the day, the hour that Jesus is going to come. We do know that we're living in those days that Jesus spoke about. They've already begun to happen. Many of those signs that he told us that we can look for, if you read Matthew 24, many of them are happening right now. So one of the things that Jesus told us not to do was never go with somebody who tells you an exact day or an exact time. So when Harold Camping told the world that Jesus for sure would be returning and that that would be the end of life as we know it, May 21st, 2011, I already knew prior to May 21st that was not true. I actually was so moved by his wrong prophecy that I wrote to the New York Post a little editorial piece, and I was so blessed and happily surprised that they printed it. I'd like to read it to you now. It was printed in May 24th, 2011. So if you want to look it up on Google, you can find that the piece that I wrote was printed in the New York Post. And here it reads, I respectfully would like to clarify something regarding the prediction of Camping. No genuine Christians believed that Saturday would be Judgment Day. Christians believe in and follow Jesus Christ. Harold Camping groupies follow Harold Camping. The people who adhere to Camping's heretical ramblings totally disregard what is written in the Holy Bible and have chosen to place their confidence in a proven false prophet. The Apostle Peter wrote, "The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." Camping also falsely predicted the end of the world in 1994. His teachings contradict those of Jesus. Now, Christ surely will return again, but he has guaranteed that he would come unannounced. The real question is, will you and I be prepared to meet him when he comes? And that was the end of my piece. I was so grateful to God and to the New York Post editorial team that they actually printed that last portion when I asked the readership this question. Will you and I be prepared to meet him when he does come? That's the real question. You and I don't have to know the day and the hour that he's coming back. We need to live for him right now. However, God's word does tell us that we indeed can discern the times and the seasons. Of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. We find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It is not enough to be able to discern the times and the seasons. We have to know what to do in those times and seasons. How do we conduct business in such a time as this? That's the question. Now, some of you listening are going through stuff. And those of you that are not going through right now, you are about to go through some of the greatest testing of your life. The question is, do we keep faith in those times of testing? That question was asked. Actually, these are the words of Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus is quoted as saying, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He's talking about those people that put all of their confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. And if they're being taken advantage of, like that widow woman, Jesus says, I tell you that those people, meaning the people of faith, that are being wronged, he says, that I tell you that he will, meaning he himself, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Luke 18:8. When God is about to use an individual for a great purpose, now this is key. Please listen very carefully. I'm going to take my time and explain it. When God is about to use an individual, have you ever prayed, God, please use me. God, use my life. Use me to be a blessing. Well, when God is about to use an individual for a great purpose, just know that before that individual is mightily used of the Lord, he or she will encounter a great test. How many of you listening to this radio broadcast would like to walk into your God-given destiny? The very divine purposes that God placed you on this planet for in the first place. I believe many of you are saying, yes, Sister Pearl, that's me. I want to live in my God-given purpose and my God-given destiny, well, then I have to be honest with you. You will encounter testing. You will encounter trial. Do not think it strange. Don't think it unusual. Let's take a look at the father of our faith, Abraham. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, listen, not knowing whither he went, meaning not knowing where God was sending him, he just obeyed. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, his only son by Sarah, the promised child. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I just read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. We don't really consider it, but think about this. When the lion and the bear came to devour the sheep David was tending in his father's field, who do you think allowed them to come and for David to defeat them? God allowed that bear. God allowed that lion. Why? Because David had to go through a test. For him to be the phenomenal king that God made him to be, the phenomenal warrior, the phenomenal writer of so many wonderful worship songs in the Word of God, he had to go through something. For Abraham to be called the father of our faith, he went through many things. Can you imagine? Finally, he already had a son by Hagar, and that was not the promised son. That was a son that was concocted by fleshly aim and fleshly ambition with the help of his wife Sarah. That's what happens when we don't want to trust God. We come up with some kind of plan in the flesh, and it always backfires. It always fails. You and I and the rest of humanity are still living with the consequences of that fleshly plan. Just let me throw something to everybody that's listening. God does not need your help. God does not need my help. God does not need my plan. God can plan things himself. What I need to do as a child of God is to humble myself, seek his plan, and follow that. That was for free. I just threw that in there. But Abraham would still be tested, not only with the fact that now God said, I'm going to give you a son in your old age. He must have been about 100 years of age, his wife about 90, totally past childbearing age. And then they get Isaac. And now God, sovereign, loving God, asks him, now that Isaac is a grown big boy, I want you to sacrifice Abraham, this son, you know, the promised child son. I want you to sacrifice him. You know, the one that I said, I'm going to bless him and bless your seed through him and generations multiply times till infinity. That's the son I'd like you to sacrifice to me. What a test. You talk about a test? That's a test. And how does Abraham respond in his great test? I feel the presence of the Lord even talking about this right now. He responds by worshiping God. We don't see any account of him, you know, complaining, of him telling God, but how could you do that? No. His response is to go take his son and worship God. We know that at the end, God asked him not to kill his son. He said, you know, hold back. And then he was shown the ram caught in the bush And he said, okay, sacrifice that. But Abraham had to know, because God already knew what Abraham was going to do. It wasn't so much for God to find out what Abraham was going to do. It was for Abraham to know how much faith did he really have to trust and rely on God. God already knows what you and I are about to do. You can believe that. So don't even wonder about that. God knows intimately what you're going to do, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to respond, how you're going to respond. This whole test is not for God. It's for you. It's for you. Whatever you're dealing with now, whatever you're going through now, it's for you. That lion and that bear, that was for David. It wasn't for God to know what he was going to do. It was for David to understand through God and his might and my faith placed in a holy, powerful God, God's going to give me everything that I need to take care of this bear and to take care of this lion and to protect my sheep that are in my, you know, under my charge. And so that's how come later on, when it was time for him to defeat Goliath, he could look back on how God had helped him to deliver his sheep from the hands and the mouth, not so much the hands, but from the mouth and the slaughter of that lion and of that cub, that bear. So the tests are not for God to find out what we're going to do. The tests are for us to know what we're going to do so that we can know how much more we need to cling to Jesus Christ. This is why David said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. The test, my friends, was for David, so that he can have an experience and say what God was able to do back then, the same God can do even more right now. Often at women's conferences, people like to refer to Deborah and Esther in the Bible, powerful women of God that changed their whole surroundings and environment and the people that they touched. They were mightily used of God to change the destinies of not only women, but men and entire Jewish nations in their watch. However, we never get to see how God prepared them for being used for such a time as this in their day. No doubt, when we look at Deborah, the great judge, Deborah had to first go through some things and overcome prior to her being able to judge Israel. Now, we never are told exactly what Deborah went through. But you can just believe that for her to get to a point where the Bible tells us that this woman sat under a palm tree. Can you imagine that? She sat under the palm tree between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. That's deep. That's found in Judges chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Here goes a woman. Can you imagine? She's judging the entire nation of Israel, and she's doing it from sitting under a palm tree. Can you envision it right now? Try to. You talk about relaxing under the cool. That's because God had already dealt with her to a certain degree where she could get to that place. You can believe that she went through tests, even though the Bible does not detail the test, and you better believe she went through tests for God to get her to that point where she can judge the nation of Israel from under a palm tree. You talk about Miss Mega Cool. Esther certainly, most surely must have learned trust and obedience when she was living with Mordecai, who she calls her uncle, probably really her cousin, but even more, he was like her father. He was like her father, and he's a type of the Holy Spirit. And he also, she had to have a relationship with God personally before God would catapult her in the position that he sovereignly placed her in. Because if she could only had, you know, Mordecai's face, that would not have helped her when she got inside the kingdom. She had to have her own faith. And you can believe me, her faith was tested. How about the fact of when she had to leave the home of her Uncle Mordecai? That must have taken some deep faith and trust in God. She was about to be used as a mighty deliverer for an entire people group in her day. And then let's talk about Joseph briefly. Lord knows that Joseph certainly was tested before he was placed to be second in command of all in Egypt. Wow. Joseph, the great dreamer. Joseph, who was hated by his brethren. Joseph, who was thrown down in a pit, and they wanted to kill him there. But thank God for his brother Reuben, it said, no, let's just sell him instead. Joseph, that was put into Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife wanted him sexually. And when he refused to defile himself with her, and he refused to disobey a holy God, then she got him thrown in jail by angering her husband, who had previously had found favor with. But now the husband throws him in jail because he believed the lying wife's story. And then even in jail, he's prospering because his name means to increase. So now he's in jail. And in jail, he's blessing people. He's influencing the people in the jail until he's over a certain amount of other prisoners in the jail. You know, wherever God puts us, he wants us to flourish and prosper, even if we're in a literal jail. If you're listening to this message and you're a prisoner, you're incarcerated, know that if you put your faith and trust in a holy God, God wants to bless you, transform your life, revolutionize your life, give you joy, give you peace. You know, first of all, give you salvation, deliverance, and he wants to use you to be a blessing to the other inmates around you. And so God used Joseph, but then God brought him out sovereignly. We don't have the time to go into the full story of Joseph. I love talking about him. Maybe one night we'll talk about him. But Joseph had to go through some stuff. Talk about testing and trials. Remember earlier we were talking about, for those of us that want to be used of God, we're going to go through tests. Well, Joseph was going to be used of God, but Joseph had to go through some testing. Keeping in mind that Egypt in those days was as the United States of America was even just a few years back. The number one authority and the strongest nation in all the world. That's what Egypt was in Joseph's day. Joseph did not just bless the nation of Egypt, but Joseph, when he was brought to be second in command, only to be under one other person, Pharaoh, of course he was under God most of all, but in the natural, the only person that he was under was Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gave him carte blanche. Pharaoh allowed him to rule and reign as he saw fit. And not only was he blessing Egypt, he blessed every nation that was a nation at the time. That's tremendous when you think about it. So, Joseph was given the power to feed not only his own household, his brothers, his fathers, but the existing world in his day. Still, all that power and God being able to use him did not come without a test, a great test, and him being able to pass that test. However, we know that God will never put us to any test. Now, this is the one thing that you and I must always remember. God will not put us to any test that will be able to destroy our faith or resolve. In other words, no test that we encounter will be able to kill us unless we allow it to do so. He said, I will not allow you to be tested above that you're able to bear. So if God's allowing you to be tested, my brother, my sister in Christ, no. What he says in 1 Corinthians, this is what Paul tells the church at Corinth, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, or meaning allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So whatever test that you're encountering or going through right now, know that God will never allow you to be tested to the point when you can't, you know, you can't go through and come out in victory. He will never. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you, in like manner, when you see that these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, or truly, for sure, I say unto you that this generation will not pass until all these things come to pass. I just read from Mark chapter 13, verses 28 to 30. And I said to you before, I'm one of those people that believe that we're living in that day that Jesus can put his appearance anytime. So, what exactly should you and I do when we're being tested? I think we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and our High Commander. If you read in Matthew chapter 4, and I encourage and exhort all of you, please read Matthew 4. Read the portion of Matthew chapter 4 where you're going to see that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Okay, you can read at least the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Now listen, I want to explain something that is so important for all of us, and I'm speaking to myself also, to fully comprehend and understand that you can be full of the Spirit of God and be tempted. All right? Because the Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 1, Jesus led up of the Spirit. Now, who led Jesus? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Led Jesus. Please, understand this. Underline it in your Bibles. You might want to use red. You might want to highlight it whatever way you like. It's going to help you to understand and help you to be very cognizant of this fact. Jesus was led up of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for what purpose? To be tempted of the devil. Even Jesus, while he was in the flesh, he had to go through a testing time. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. He was hungry. The tempter came. The tempter is the devil, Satan. And he said unto him, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. We can get from that right away that you and I, the first thing that the enemy will challenge us is who we are in God. If you're a Christian, then you should be doing this. Well, who's the devil to tell you what to do? Hello? Do not allow the enemy of your soul, of mine, to tell you, to tell me what we should do. But that's what he does. If he did it to Jesus while he was on earth, Jesus, who is God incarnate, fully God and fully man at the same time when he was on the earth, the enemy challenged who he was in God. If you're a son of God, command that these stones become bread. Always remember, do not allow the enemy to tell you what you should be doing. If anything, you should be telling the devil what he should be doing. Okay, so that's the first thing. Do not allow the devil to tell you what you should be doing. Do not give him that kind of power in your life when you're being tested. All right, then what's the next thing? And how did Jesus, you know, respond? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So that tells us, when you and I are being tempted of the enemy, with whatever the temptation is, have enough word inside of you. Meditate on the word. Digest the word. Put away the word. Deposit the word inside of you, so that when you need to bring out the word of God, it's right there. Get your Bible open. If you don't even have it committed to memory, if you've not meditated on it yet, then open up your Bible, search the scriptures, and respond to the enemy, not with your own words, but with the word of God, because that has power. Okay, the second thing, then the devil takes him up into the holy city. He sets him on the pinnacle of the temple. The second thing I want to tell you is when you're being tested, I'm telling you right now, the enemy is trying to set you up. Know that. He is trying to set you up. Set you up, trying to make you, you know, make you feel that he has the power to bring you in a higher position, at a higher level. He's trying to set you up, but always know he's trying to set you up for a terrible fall. In your test, this is a test. Know that the enemy, if he did it to Jesus, he will do it to you. He will do it to me. He'll try to set you up. The Bible says he set him, meaning Christ, on the pinnacle of the temple. So he brought him up to a high place. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, again, challenging who Jesus really was. But I want you to cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Okay, he heard Jesus quoting scripture, so now he's going to try to quote scripture. This devil is such a weasel. He hears you quoting scriptures, so now he's going to try to quote scriptures. But don't be moved. Jesus was not moved by him at all. All right? So Jesus came back. He says, again, it is written, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord your God. In other words, you shouldn't be testing God. I'm God. Don't test me. Again, the devil takes him into an exceedingly high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And then the devil said, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Okay, the third thing that you and I always need to understand during any kind of test, whether it's a spiritual test, it's a test on your, you know, whatever the test. If it's something in your family, if it's something on your job, you're being tempted to cheat. You're being tempted to steal. You're being tempted to lie. You're being tempted to move away from God. You're being tempted sexually to do something that you know is against God. Whatever the temptation is, know that it's the enemy that's trying to set you up. Know that. Remember that. If he's going to do it to Jesus, who is God incarnate on the earth, when he walked those, you know, streets in Israel, in Jerusalem, he's going to do it to you, he's going to do it to me. Who are we? If he's going to do it to God, he's definitely going to try it with me. So, he took Jesus in an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now remember, who owns the high mountain? Who owns the kingdoms of the world? Who has the glory for them? It's God. But again, the enemy tries to make us think that he's in the place of God and tries to make us think that he can give us these grandiose things. He told Jesus, who's God, all these things will I give you. And here goes, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, what the enemy is really trying to get you to do during your test. Fall down and worship the devil. That is what the enemy would like you to do. Fall down and worship him. Leave your position of being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Fall down and worship the devil. And every time that we disobey God and honor the devil, and you say, but Sister Bro, I would never honor the devil. Well, look, when I don't obey God and instead I do what the enemy wanted me to do, guess what? I just fell down and basically was honoring what the enemy told me to do. God forbid. And that's what he wants all of us to do. Let's fall down and not only fall down and do what he says, but worship him. Begin to adore him. Begin to put him in the place of God. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence. In other words, get out of my face, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. In other words, don't tell me to fall down and worship you. You must worship God and God alone. That's what you should be doing. Then the Bible says, and, of course, Jesus quoted again the scripture, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him should you be serving. So you and I have to come back when we're in temptation. When we're being tempted, we're being in a big trial. We got to come up with the Word of God. Let's not just rely on our tears. Let's not rely on only our praying. That's fine. You can talk to other brothers and sisters. That's good. Have them pray with you. That's great. That's good. That's positive. But make sure that you have the Word of God to come back and to speak forth, and let your spirit hear you speaking, and let the enemy hear you speaking the Word of God. Then the Bible tells us in verse 11 of Matthew 4, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Jesus. Wow. Well, if was ministered by the angels, Lord knows I need to have the angels, you know, help me, and so I could just be strong and do what I need to do. Quote the Word of God. Quote the Word of God. There were some more things I wanted to share with you, but I really want to keep it to a one-hour show tonight. You're going to be tested. Make no doubt about it, and don't think it's strange. You read the scriptures tonight. Don't think it's something, you know, outrageous. Because you're being tested. That's just a part of you being a Christian, of you being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tested. While you're being tested, focus. And when you're being tested, don't think, oh, this has got to be the devil. No. Sometimes the Holy Spirit himself will allow you to be tested because he wants you to know what still you need to be delivered from, what still I need to be delivered from. Just like Peter, he thought that he was, you know, he was just the great, mighty apostle, the mighty disciple of Jesus Christ, and God had to let him see, no, there's some things inside of you, Peter, that are still not right, because you are going to deny me. And Peter thought, and I'm sure he wasn't, I don't feel he was lying. He felt with all his heart he would never deny Jesus Christ. Yet when put to the test, he did. Well, to fast forward, thank God, history tells us that later on when Peter was an older man, he did not shrink back from identifying with Jesus Christ. Because I believe that Josephus tells us that not only was he hung on a cross, but he said, I am not even worthy to hang the same way that my Jesus, my Lord and Savior hung, so hang me upside down. So obviously God did convert him. God did change him. His life was turned around. He did learn, and he did respond correctly at the end. Amen. And so these tests come our way so that we can see who we are. I cannot tell you some of the tests that I have been through. I cannot tell you some of the hard places that God has had me walk. But one of the things I've always asked for God to use me, even as a little girl. Now that I'm far from being a little girl, God has been so gracious to let me see so many years. Let me tell you, all of those times that God used me, I went through testing. I'm going through testing right now. And the way that the Lord uses me is to help to deliver people to walk into their destiny. And that, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the devil hates. He's tried to bring all kind of horrific discouragement, all kinds of things I have heard people say about me. Some of them wonderful, some of them horrific, some of them the very people that I would lay my life down and have already done it time and time again are some of the exact same people that will say some of the worst horrendous things to me and have done some of the worst horrendous things to me. And then I still have to forgive them. I have to let that go. I have to, you know, but the test is, what are you going to do with this, Pearl? The test for you is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? We're going to come out victorious. That's what we're going to do. Because greater is he that is in us, the power of Jesus Christ, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, than he that is in the world. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for every listener to this radio broadcast. This is a test. God help us to pass our test with flying colors because of the blood of Jesus applied to our hearts and minds. Help us to be like Joseph of old, that every time the enemy tried to put him down, you kept elevating him and bringing him up even higher. And the higher he went was the more people that he could bless. The higher the platform you gave him, the greater the anointing and the greater and the wider the width and the breadth of the people that he can be used to be a blessing with for your honor and for your glory. Do it, that your name would be uplifted, that your name would be honored, that your name would be glorified, that you would receive all the praise because it belongs to you and to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Wonderful listening audience to Reaching Out Radio. Until next time, this is your sister Pearl. Love you. God bless you. Keep your eyes on the prize. His name is Jesus. And remember, this is a test, but you pass with Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye now. Until next time.